Like you to open your Bibles. Well, if we open them at chapter 21 of the Acts of the Apostles, we're going to read the Bible tonight. All right, and we'll be looking at verse 17. Our title for our message tonight is Almost Persuaded. I almost persuaded me to be a Christian. I remember whenever I was saved at first, Lord showed me different things from the scriptures. Now, I wasn't all that sharp on them, and I didn't know everything. I was only learning the scriptures. I used to do a lot of things, but the Lord took your desires from my heart. All I wanted to do was to serve Him in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we all have friends in life. I had a very good friend. I remember when I got saved, he did not go against me. Matter of fact, he helped me in all he possibly could. Probably could have gone against me. But I asked him one night, would he come to a gospel service? And seeing the change in my life, and being such a good friend, he says yes. So we went to a gospel meeting. There was him and his wife. And there was my fiance then, and myself. And we went to Portadown Free Presbyterian Church. I can remember it so clear. And as we went into that gospel mission, God's hand of blessing was upon our wee land at those days. I'm going back almost 40 years. There was gospel missions, and the word of God was preached with power. The Holy Ghost was moving in people's hearts. They were being changed. What a wonderful time. God was adding on to the church. His church daily should be saved. What a great time. Tent missions. People talking about Christ. What a wonderful blessing there was. And I can still see going up into that church. And sitting was near the front, because in those days the meetings were packed out. Having chairs here, there and yonder. People sitting near the pulpit. And I remember sitting along with my friend and his wife and my Francis. And as the gospel was faithfully preached, and as the word went forth, clearly the Lord Jesus Christ was uplifted. Had Christ died on the cross in Calvary for sinners. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and on the right hand of the Father. And that meeting, feel the Holy Ghost so present. And after the meeting was preached, the message was preached, there was a gospel appeal. And I know sometimes people will not go for gospel appeals. But this was just an ordinary, plain gospel appeal to come to Christ. And as people's heads were bowed and people praying, those were not saved. And my friend was with me, and I could honestly say he was one of the toughest men you could meet. He was a soldier, and he'd gotten one medals in some war. And I've met some tough men in my time, but he was one of the toughest. And there, I could look, I could see the tears coming down his eyes, his face. And I said to him, come to Christ. I was only a young Christian at the time. Come to Christ. I'll remember, even now, those words. John. I'll never forget those words. Francis and I got married. And after that, we came home from our honeymoon. When we came home from our honeymoon, I was down on my knees praying that the Lord would heal me. We got a phone call, very unusual, but it wasn't the same phones as there is now. The phone message was to go round to that person's house. And I went round. It was near 12 o'clock. And the house, there were people in it, so sad. Some was, my friend was coming home, got up into the house. Some of them came round and shot him. And as I was praying with the family, see the doctor coming in, saying he's gone. I always remember, I do not know what way he was with the Lord. Their grace until the day your breath goes out of your body. And I wouldn't even dare to say where a person's soul would be. But you know, I always think of that. Almost. It's great to be a Christian. It's a very hard thing to watch. And to think of people refuse the gospel message. That was almost 40 years ago next Saturday. Well, we look at Acts of the Apostles here in the 21st chapter on verse 17. We see the Apostle Paul, and it was just after his third missionary journey. He had got great experience now. Fearless preacher of the Word of God. And here we have him going up into Jerusalem. When we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. This was a big difference from the first time that Paul met the disciples. Remember, they did not trust him because he persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only for the befriending of Barnabas, and he took Paul, as Saul was called then, under his wing, and then he introduced him to them, and told them that he was preaching the gospel, and how they all began to get familiar with each other. Paul was trusted among the disciples. And here we have them, Paul presenting to them everything that happened on his third missionary journey. And I'm sure the hearts and souls of those people were rejoicing. It's really great to be rejoicing when there's souls being saved. remember in our church, just about over 30 odd years ago, in the tent nation there was 50 saints. 50. Some of them are still with us, others have passed on to glory. Still going on well with the Lord and faithful members in our church. But here we have them in Jerusalem, but Paul being Paul, he was afraid of no one. And he preached the gospel. And in the 28th verse of chapter 21, we see that he was falsely accused of polluting the temple. But the Jews were so stirred up. The authorities stirred the people up because they did not like Paul. And the leaders, religious leaders, did not want Paul to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially the message of the resurrection. And as they gathered together and the scheme and how they were going to kill Paul, they just did not want to give him a beating. They wanted in their hearts to kill Paul. And in verse 30, he was attacked by a mob, and they would have killed him. Only the interference of the Roman soldiers, and how they came and took him away from the mob and brought him into the castle. And the main man who was in charge of it, well, there was great opposition to Paul. There was always opposition to the preaching of the gospel. And I can tell you many times, when you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, when you take a stand against alcohol, and against gambling, and against wickedness, people will want to go against you. They just do not like you attacking their way of going. But the word of God is clear and plain in this, that we must stand up against these evil things. And Paul was brought to Caesarea. You see, the tribe, more than 40 of the Jews tried to kill him. And they had a plan. They had a good plan. And if that plan had just been just ordinary, then Paul would have been dead. But you see, God's hand was upon him. And it was through his nephew, who was in the right place, in the right time, heard about it. And as he heard about it, he came to the prison and spoke to Paul and told Paul about it. And then Paul, I told them to go to the man in charge to tell him all that he heard. And then he was able to escape out of the hands of those people. Then he was brought before Felix. In chapter 23, in verse 33. In the 24th chapter, in verse 27, we read that he was imprisoned for 2 years, put in jail until he appealed to Caesar. Then we have him in 26th chapter, the chapter we read. We see his defense before King Agrippa. And what a tremendous blessing we can get from this chapter. We see a man who was faithful and true unto God, feared nothing. And he was standing before the king. There was many people around the auditorium where he was in. And as King Agrippa said unto him, Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself and answer for thyself. Here Paul was given permission to preach and to say whatever he wanted, whatever way he was led. What a great opportunity this was for him. And he started his message by simply saying, I am happy. He was happy. Why was he happy? Because God was with him. He knew that God was with him. He was happy for the opportunity to preach the gospel. Standing there with bound him. Standing there with the soldiers all around him. Just taken out of the jail after 2 years. And he was happy. He was pleased to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How tremendous that was. Paul, well, he spoke of his two births. We read about it in Galatians 1 and 15. We read about his natural birth and his spiritual birth. We're singing in our first hymn this evening, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and how we see the natural birth, and how we see the spiritual birth. Oh, he was happy to preach it, and he defended his faith. How did he defend his faith? What was he going to do? He wasn't going to get all books and all the scripture and everything round and get himself a maybe 3 point or 4 or 5 point sermon, and I'll do this, that and the other. He wasn't able to do that. He was just to preach, and he told them their testimony. And how good it is when we get in conversation with people, when we're preaching the gospel, and we try to explain to them, and they find it hard to understand. And how good it is to tell the people their testimony. And be able to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And how people listen to testimonies. And here we have him defending his faith. He says in verse 3 by the youth, when you're giving your testimony, the youth is very important. And you often hear people saying, oh, when I was brought up in a Christian home. And you know, that is one of the greatest benefits for anyone, to be brought up in a Christian home. I thank God that I was brought up in a Christian home. Didn't always go to church, but I was taught the things of God when I was young. It's very important. And you know, they never leave you. I will, when I give my testimony some Sunday afternoon, and I will be telling you some of the things that happened when before I was saved, how the Word of God never leaves you when you hear it when you're young. It's always there. It's in that memory bank. And he was a religious background, a Jewish, a Pharisee, the hashtag. There he was, and I'm sure the people that were listening to Paul, and they were getting interested in it. Then he started to speak about my hatred for Christ. His hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not like the Lord Jesus Christ preached. He was against it. He was so religious. He just wanted to go with the law of the Jewish religion. And even the people of Christ, the believers, he told the great audience, look, I persecuted them. I chased them. I brought them and put them in prison. Even death itself. And in other places he mentioned Stephen. Even he had the clothes of Stephen. Oh, how much he hated the children of God. And can you just imagine them as he was late for Damascus? And he told that great audience, I was going to Damascus. Look at letters here. To say that I could lift as many Christian followers of Christ that I could and bring them and put them into prison. I could do what I wished. You just imagine them going into the houses. Maybe they're all sitting round the tea table having their tea or dinner. And the door would have been put in. And there is mommy and her daddy, or maybe both would be taken away. The wee children left to defend for themselves. That's the way it was. That's the sort of man Saul of Tarsus was. And you can just see the audience, so interested, so listening very much. And then he says, on my way to Damascus, something wonderful happened. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't see him with his eyes, but he heard him speaking. And he could see him with his voice. And as they rolled off the horses, fell to the ground, and said unto him, this voice from heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he told the people, and they said, who art thou, Lord? And he goes on, and he tells the people, that I am going to make you a preacher of the word of God, a missionary to the Gentiles. How wonderful that would have been, just to hear Paul tell those people about that great wonderful conversion. And in verse 19 it says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto that, this heavenly vision. Vision that he saw. He was gloriously and wonderfully saved on that road to Damascus. Those audience knew that Paul was a changed man. Something happened. His life changed. Now, he told them, I'm preaching God's word. I'm preaching repent and turn to God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke about the Christ and how he died and how he was raised up from the dead. And he spoke about the resurrection of Christ. You know, people do not like it whenever you speak about Christ being in heaven, that he is alive. They just do not like it. But he preached it. And he told them about how he was persecuted. When he became a Christian, instead of him persecuting people, now he was being persecuted. And you know that's what it's like for Christians. And we are persecuted. We have the difficulties. There's so many things that can happen to us. We always seem to have thorns in the flesh. We don't seem to be perfect at any time. We either have a sore head or sore foot or problems or trials. We never seem to be perfect. I can't remember any time I was perfect. There's always a thorn in the flesh. But we have to accept that. Paul told these people that he had to accept it. He was being persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach to those of great congregation. But then all of a sudden, something happened. Festus, the governor, and he shouted, "Paul, thou art mad. Too much learning has made thee mad." Why did he cry out like that in front of all the people? What was the reason for it? Because Paul was getting through to King Agrippa, and he could see it. And not only he could see it, but Satan could see it. And Satan attacked him there, trying to put the message off. And this was what happens at times. Satan just come in, and we were preaching, and we seemed to be getting somewhere with people, maybe person to person, and all of a sudden something happens. And it makes it difficult for us. Well, Satan does not like to see people see him. Of course, he hasn't the power to stop anyone being saved. We must understand that. But he does come and he does tempt, and he would try to do it. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, remember. You know, whenever you go to a gospel meeting, and when the gospel is faithfully preached and many sinners there, Satan always loves to be there. He always loves to sit beside the sinner. "Oh, don't believe this. Oh no, he doesn't really mean that. How are you going to give up your friends? How can you do it?" Then we see Paul's response to that message. And the response it was, "Festus, I am not mad." And after he said that, he didn't try to argue with Festus. He didn't try to be obvious to them and to be cross. But he put the attention to King Agrippa. And he comes with this great appeal to King Agrippa. "Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." What a great gospel appeal that was. How he spoke from the scriptures. He had love and he had compassion for that king. He just did not preach just for the sake of preaching. He preached because he had a desire, love, to see that king saved. And all those who are sitting about. And then we see King Agrippa's response to the invitation to come to Christ. Then Agrippa said in verse 28, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Paul said in verse 29, "I would to God that not only thou, but also hear all that hear me this day." He was telling the people, the audience as well, like, "I'm just not speaking to King Agrippa. I'm speaking to you as well, for all that audience." We're both almost and all together such as I am. Desire of all was to see them saved. To see them saved. You know what is our desire in our hearts? Is our desire to see souls saved? Surely we don't want to see anyone going to a lost eternity. We don't want to see people saying no to Christ. It's something you'll never forget. Almost I persuaded me to be a Christian. With a desire of the heart for the lost. Then finally we'll look in verse 30, and Paul said, I would, not only thou, but all that hear me this day, accept these bonds. We look at, accept these bonds. Paul had all these bonds, he was bound at. And it was made difficult for him to preach the word of God. And this is very important for us believers. We are bound in many ways. But even though that we are bound, we must accept the position that we are in. We must accept it the way we are and preach the gospel. Because it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our thoughts. It's not our ideas. In whatever condition we are in, whether it will be in having freedom, or maybe it is under bonds, we must preach the word of God, because it's of God that saves. It's not us. Our duty is just to bring the word of God to the lost. We can have burdens and we can have desires. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. And we are just told to preach the gospel. That's the way Paul preached. Not great oratorian. He preached. We don't know what results came out of it. But I am sure there was many people who were spoken to that day. Many realized that they were lost sinners. Maybe many came to the Christ. Do pray that the Lord would bless these remarks tonight, and that will encourage us to go on with the Lord and to preach his word in season and out of season. And it's all for the glory of God.